You know, when I think of all the cuisines that I know far too little about, Burmese food sits pretty high up on that list. Part of it's political. Now called Myanmar, the country was closed off to much of the world until just a couple years ago, and there aren't many Burmese communities in the U.S. In New York City, where I live, you know, a city of 8.5 million people, there is exactly one Burmese restaurant. But I'm excited to learn more, because every time I've tasted Burmese food, I have been just blown away. It borders Thailand, China, and India, so the food is somewhat related to those cuisines too. So if you can imagine rice noodles in an almost curry-like fish broth, or firm tofu made from chickpeas that's then tossed in herbs and tamarind and fried shallots. So now there's a new Burmese cookbook from Desmond Tan, the owner of the amazingly named Bay Area restaurant Burma Superstar. Our contributor Melissa Clark talked with Desmond and his co-writer Kate Leahy about what makes Burmese food so unique.
Desmond, Kate, hi, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, definitely. It's great to be here.
So tell us a little bit about Burmese food. You know, here in the U.S., we're not that familiar with it.
If you've had Burmese food, it'll remind you of maybe Thai food. Certain, you know, dishes might remind you of Chinese food or Indian food. And that's because it borders those countries, Thailand, China, India. But at the same time, you know, there are a lot of Burmese dishes that are uniquely Burmese and you can't get anywhere else. It's spicy, it's salty, and it's sour.
Now, Kate, before you started working on the book, did you know anything about Burmese cuisine or did you learn it all while studying with Desmond?
I learned it all on the job. I went into the Burma Superstar kitchen with a notebook, and my first day there, they thought I was the health department. But they quickly warmed up to me, and I was basically talking to all the different cooks and having them show me how to make the different dishes, because the first day on the job, Desmond said, you know, we don't have any recipes written down. I thought, there's no recipes? I'm starting from scratch? So I did definitely learn on the job.
So one of the things that I read from your book is that in Burma, people don't just drink tea, they eat tea, which is something that I don't think anyone else in the world does, or maybe not in many places.
It's true. It's a fermented tea, and we use that as a dressing and create a tea leaf salad. One of the dish in the restaurant, what we do is we take, you know, say any fish, take rock cod, and we wrap it with banana leaf, and we spread the tea leaf, scallions, and lemon, and we steam it for about 18 minutes, and it's a delicious, healthy fish dish.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kate, can you describe what the fermented tea leaves taste like?
Well, I think the first thing you notice, especially if you're seeing the whole leaf when it's fermented before it's been mixed with other flavors, is it has this sort of ripe smell, almost an overripe mango with a funkiness. And the funkiness is almost, to me, it reminds me of bamboo. But the leaf itself, when it's just fermented, it's also extremely bitter. So you need to soak it and season it before it becomes this sort of umami-rich snack or dressing. But it really is a unique flavor. It doesn't remind me of green tea. I mean, you're eating green tea, but it's completely its own kind of entity. And it pairs so well with things like fish sauce because it has that funk.
Now, did you take the green tea leaves and do anything interesting or have a new take on them for the book? Or was it pretty traditional?
It was pretty traditional because I think it's still such a new idea that doing too many things with it that were sort of spins on it, I thought would kind of maybe take away from the tea leaf itself and also just how popular the salad is. People love it in a salad. I know Desmond's done some cool things at the restaurant. They've mixed it with like an aioli to make a tioli. but for the book, I kept it traditional. But I will say that in Myanmar, when it's a special occasion and you're presented with a tea leaf, it's not in a salad. Oftentimes, it's in a lacquerware container where there are these beautiful tea leaves with fried bits of garlic, toasted sesame seeds, toasted peanuts, and you can pick and choose what you want to eat with those tea leaves. And those would be the highest end sort of tea leaf or lepet, as they say in Myanmar.
In the cookbook, you have other recipes aside from tea leaf. Is there another recipe that really speaks to Burmese cuisine?
I think Mohinga is definitely the one that comes to mind because everywhere you go in Yangon, you see Mohinga. And Desmond, it's still one of your favorite Burmese dishes.
Absolutely. It's also my daughter's. And it is a slow-cooked stew soup-like type of a dish. We use catfish and cook it for about 2-3 hours until all the fish are broken apart and use that as a base.
It's almost, I think of it as the Burmese answer to pho or any kind of brothy soup that you would have in Southeast Asia. But it's very specific to Myanmar because it has this depth of flavor from the catfish. It has rice noodles. It's also thickened sometimes with ground rice and other times with chickpea flour. And I find that's another really cool thing about Burmese food is they use a lot of different ways to thicken soups. And oftentimes they seem so, I don't know, modern to me, using chickpea flour to thicken a broth. But, I mean, they've been doing this for centuries.
Well, thank you guys so much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Melissa, for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Desmond Tan and Kate Leahy are authors of the cookbook Burma Superstar, Addictive Recipes from the Crossroads of Southeast Asia. Melissa Clark's latest book is Dinner, Changing the Game. And Desmond and Kate left us with a recipe for that famous tea leaf salad on splendidtable.org.